on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And there was a lot of it made yesterday and last night. And as we speak, a lot to talk about, but the major story from yesterday was the commission hearing broadcast. It was riveting. It was so well done. It was so true. The first one broadcast in prime time was the one that I think opened everybody's eyes to what really happened. The second one was very valuable, but you had that Mike Luttig, that judge who was seemed kind of slow-witted and a little pompous about his place in history, but he got the job done, and he said at the end that Trump was a clear and present danger to the United States, and he is the premier conservative judge, and it's his law clerks. Eastman was one of his law clerks, so having him say that was very important. That said, this one, Adam Schiff orchestrated. Adam Schiff was the guy who asked the questions, and he did it. He was a professional prosecutor. You know, one of the things that has always bugged me about this is, for political reasons, all of the congressmen think they have to ask questions because they want the TV time. But many of them, especially if you're never a prosecutor, and especially if you're never a lawyer, don't know how to ask a question, and it bogs down. Well, this one was crisp and right on the money. And there were three principal people testifying. A guy named Rusty Bauer, the Speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives. Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia. Gabriel Sterling was his chief operating officer, the guy that actually ran all the elections. And then Shea Moss and her mother, Ruby Freeman, who were very good, just poll workers, who were libeled by Giuliani and Trump and had to be driven into hiding. And it was as compelling as anything I've ever seen. So let me get started and talk about some of the highlights and what I think the effects were. And there was a shocking revelation about Ron Johnson that I think is going to upend the Senate race in this state. We're going to get to that in due course. Now, first of all, the day of the hearing was yesterday. And Trump, sitting there like a spider in his web, what does he do? Trump puts out a statement calling Rusty Bauer a rhino. You know, look, Rusty Bauer is the very conservative Speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives, a Republican, voted for Trump in 2020, campaigned for Trump in 2020. But because he did not see any evidence of any rigging or impropriety in the election, he just refused to overturn the will of the people in Arizona. And for that, Rusty Bauer is called by Trump the day of the hearing itself, trying to intimidate him, calling him a rhino. Trump in his statement also said that Bauer told him right after January 20, actually told him before the election of November 20 and before the insurrection of January 21, you know, before all this, that the election was rigged. And so he put out this statement, and Bauer, I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of witnesses testify. Bauer and I probably don't agree on a lot of political issues, but I'll tell you what, this is an honest guy, and he just sat there and he said, that's a false statement. That's a false statement. Trump just put this out. Anyway, here is what occurred. Rusty Bauer, right after the election, gets calls from Giuliani, gets calls from Trump saying, hey, we've got to do something about this election. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to say that there's something wrong with the election. We want you to say that you're not going to certify the Biden votes and certify the fake Trump electors and send that to the Senate. And then that's the end of what we need you to do. Rusty Bauer said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. That's contrary to my conscience and my faith. I took an oath to the Constitution, and it was really very, it was very compelling. He said he felt the Constitution was divinely inspired and he was not going to betray it. Well, the result of that, you know, and now to yesterday's call to Rhino and all that, they kept pressing him. They kept pressing him. And then Giuliani said, hey, wait a minute. There were 200,000 illegal immigrants who voted in that election in Arizona. And by the way, there were 5,000 dead people. And Bauer said, well, if you have the names, if you have that evidence, give it to me. Yeah, that's something I'll look at. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And so then what happens? Some time goes by. They don't give it to him. Then they call him again and say, switch the votes. And he says, well, where's the evidence? They say, we have it. Just trust us. And Rusty Bauer goes, well, you know, I didn't say this. I didn't fall off the turnip truck on the way into town. No, give it to me. Give it to me. They say, okay, we'll give it to you. Then Giuliani tells him after that, well, we don't have the evidence, but we have theories. We have theories. And Bauer goes, well, no, I'm not going to overturn the election. For that, here's what's happened. A mob invaded the Arizona Capitol. I did not know this before. Led by guess who? The QAnon shaman. Remember that guy, the QAnon shaman, who invaded the Capitol? He dressed in fur, war paint. He had Viking horns. Remember the guy, bare-chested, the QAnon shaman? He's now serving 40 months in jail for what he did. And the QAnon shaman and the rest of them show up, many of them armed, waiting outside to intimidate the Arizona legislators. Then they say to Rusty Bauer, well, yeah, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. What we want you to do is simply say there's something wrong with the vote and leave it to us. And Rusty said, no, we got to, where are the 200,000 illegal immigrants? Where are the 5,000 dead people? Give me one name. They could not give him one name. Well, then what happens is they start to attack Rusty Bauer. He said he got 20,000 emails or texts and tens of thousands, as he put it, phone calls. They put a full court press relentlessly 24/7 to his phones and to his accounts, threatening him, calling him a traitor. But the worst was, and this is very, very sad, the worst was they sent honking cars and men with guns to his house, going around the block, making a lot of noise. And they had a big rolling TV screen, a big, huge TV screen on a flatbed truck. And on the screen, they kept going, putting stuff like, Rusty Bauer is a pedophile. Rusty Bauer is a traitor, defaming him. And the saddest thing of all is he had a daughter who was dying of cancer. And she passed just a few days after Biden was sworn in at the end of January. This is the abuse. This is the abuse that was subjected to, or was inflicted on, and who is subjected to by Rusty Bauer. I'll tell you what, that is what they did to a Republican. And I'm looking at the guy's demeanor. I watched the whole hearing. Looking at the guy's demeanor. There was a fake hearing that was conducted in a ballroom. One of the things that Giuliani had demanded of Bauer is that he convene a legislative hearing so that some of the people with very little character, right-wing nuts in the Arizona legislature could get up on their hind legs and say things like rigged. And Bauer said, you know, under Wisconsin law, I should say under Arizona law, I can't call a hearing on my own. I cannot call a hearing on my own. And so if you can, I need 2/3 of the assembly. You're not going to get 2/3 of the assembly for this. So they had a guy, a legislator, convene a fake hearing around a table. They called it a hearing. They asked Rusty Bauer about that. And he said, well, you know, any legislator can have a group together. That's not a hearing of the legislature. I don't care if they do that. You see the degree of fakeness, that this was inflicting on everybody. You know, it wasn't just Giuliani who said they had the evidence. Jenna Ellis, one of the lawyers, said, oh, we have the evidence. We'll be right back with the evidence. Don't you worry your little head about it. Just go ahead and say it was rigged. Rusty Bauer stood tall. He very easily could have caved, especially when his daughter was dying of cancer and they're going around with these things calling them horrible names. He very, very easily could have caved, and he did not. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to a break. There's a lot more to talk about this. The lines are lighting up, and there's some people on the lines that I recognize that principal conservatives. I do want to hear from you. Stay on the lines, but I've got to get the basic facts out here. Going to a break, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And one final thing about Rusty Bowers. Then he got a phone call from Republican Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona telling him to do what Giuliani and Trump wanted. Randy Biggs, who then was going to supposedly be going on to vote on the certification of the election, tried to stick a knife in too, and Rusty Bauer stood tall. Okay, we're going to go to the other witnesses, but we have a caller on the line, Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gary, what's on your mind today?
All right. There's a couple things that I have questions on. Why don't they, in my opinion, why don't they have Nancy Pelosi and some of the Capitol police officers to come and testify? It's kind of weird that the day of the you know, January 6th, that they send home a handful of officers rather than bringing more officers. They sent officers home. And I'd like to hear from the Capitol Police Sergeant himself. Then all of a sudden, about the why wasn't the National Guard, when they knew that there were a million people coming, why didn't they send the National Guard around the Capitol to protect the Capitol? Because they knew what was going on. And then they knew about this other stuff weeks ahead of time throughout the country. And then what about the FBI? Do you think, I've been listening to, different people on the radio talking about the FBI having plants put into, like, you know, to find out what's going on to, cause problems as far as, you know, getting all the Republicans or whoever was there all, you know, pumped up. Then there's this guy, I don't remember what his name is. He has a ranch out in some state. I'm not sure what state it is. And I saw this guy going out there, we got to get into the Capitol. We got to get into the Capitol. And then this guy was never arrested. I mean, you know, what's going on with that? So what's your opinion? Do you believe that there's a possibility that the FBI had people in the crowd getting the people, the Republicans, all pumped up? Is it possible that could have happened?
So thanks for calling in, because in my opinion, you are a principled conservative, an intelligent conservative, and I really enjoy having you call in. I want to address that, because when people of your stature hear this kind of thing, this is one of the responses that comes over the Internet and so forth. It's important to address it. One of the things that I will tell you, and I'm going to tell this to people on the left as well as the right, is much of what you read on social media was planted by Russia, Iran, or China. What they try to do is put in conspiracy ideas that will make your blood boil, depending on whether you're on the left or the right. Whether you're on the left or the right. They do it both ways. They put on left-wing conspiracy theories and right-wing conspiracy theories. So I don't know what social media Gary looks at, but and that's his prerogative, but I'll tell you what, be very suspicious of anything you see on social media that's not confirmed several times over by different other media. The second thing is, when you say Pelosi and the Capitol Police Officer should testify, Pelosi and the Capitol Police Officers, whatever evidence they've given, it has been given. They've talked to many hundreds of witnesses. They talked to the members of Congress who were there, and there are 435 members of Congress. What were your impressions? Did you see anything? And the Capitol Police Officers, the same thing. One was trampled to death. You've seen him on TV. He was almost trampled to death. He said, I have four children, and they spared him. They spared him. Another one had his eye gouged out. Another one had a finger yanked off. One committed suicide. A woman got shot, one of the insurrectionists. So they all did testify to the commission in the sense of giving their evidence. And remember, Pelosi said to McCarthy, you name five people and I'll name five people. Not a single subpoena could have gone out without Kevin McCarthy's approval. And what he did was he appointed people who had been in on planning this. Jim Jordan of Ohio. Well, Jim Jordan of Ohio was in the White House with Trump planning it. And Pelosi said, well, wait a minute, you can't do that. Come on. And he named five people, and she accepted a couple of them. So you got to go back to the drawing board and this other guy's. And he was looking to posture. And then he said, I'm not going to give you anybody. And she looked around what Republicans are willing to do this without incurring the wrath of Trump. And it was very brave people. Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, and the chief of staff for the commission is a former Republican congressman from Virginia. And Liz Cheney gives one of the opening statements each time, and Adam Kinzinger is going to conduct the questioning on Thursday at the next hearing. The next thing, Gary, is that these things last about two and a half hours, okay? And there's only seven of them. That's 14. Let's call it 17 or 18 hours. You can't have hundreds, thousands of documents, hundreds of people who give given information crammed into 17 hours. If Kevin McCarthy had risen to the occasion, even Trump's criticized him now and saying Kevin McCarthy made a mistake not doing it, not putting up five people, regular people, not insurrectionists. He did. He made a very, very bad mistake because he could have obstructed it. And he didn't obstruct it. Then you say, why were there so few police officers? Listen, you have the president saying, you know, come, there's going to be a rally. And I'm going to give a speech. Why would you have some inordinate police presence over that? No one knew in advance that this was going to happen. Then you say, why not the National Guard? Pelosi wanted the National Guard. Trump refused to bring in any military. Pence had to call in the military. They were going around saying, hang Mike Pence. And then he got a countermanding call. Mark Meadows, the chief of staff of Trump, called him and said, Pence is shooting his mouth off. He's not the president. You take orders from the president. It was Trump who obstructed the National Guard and the military. Now, Gary of Sussex raises an issue that the FBI somehow is in on this or orchestrated it for what purpose? Well, no purpose. It's not true. That is a meme that has been circulated by the Iranians, the Russians, and the Chinese. They're trying to divide our country. The FBI has absolute integrity, absolute integrity. They did not, were not in on this. And this conspiracy theory that they were is misleading very, very good people like Gary of Sussex. Gary of Sussex is a man of character, and he's a conservative, and I respect that. But These conspiracy theories are poisoning good people. They're poisoning our dialogue. All you got to do is look at the video, Gary. You think those people were FBI agents that were doing this, that built the gallows, that hadn't hanged Mike Pence? And the final thing, you said there's a guy owns a ranch and he's never been arrested. I don't know who that is. I mean, they've arrested 800 people. They've charged almost 300. There are more than 800 people there. Van Orden, here in Wisconsin, you have a Republican nominee, or he will be the nominee for Congress in Ron Kind's district, who was at that insurrection. He wasn't arrested, and he was photographed, videotaped in areas that would be a criminal trespass. And not everybody got arrested. And I have no idea who owns the ranch and who this guy was. The bottom line, Gary, is this. This was orchestrated. If you look at, and I'm going to talk as we go forward about the other people who testified, you could not look at that testimony yesterday and have any doubt that Donald Trump and Giuliani and his people orchestrated this. Thank you very much for calling in. I invite you to call in frequently. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to proceed with the commission hearing yesterday and then take calls. Do not hang up. The next person to testify after Rusty Bowers is Gabriel Sterling. Gabriel Sterling is the chief operating officer of the Secretary of State's office. In other words, he's number two to Brad Raffensperger. And he was a numbers guy, a tech guy, very, very competent guy who ran the elections. And this guy, conservative Republican, but he was magnificent in his testimony. He said, I'm going to give you a couple of lowlights of what happened there, but highlights of his testimony. He said that there was a lower level Dominion employee. Now, Dominion was the voting machine company. One of the absolute strangest ironies of all of this is Dominion voting machines are mostly used in rural areas in rural states where Trump won. They tend not to be used in the larger urban areas where Biden won. And yet Trump just pulled Dominion out of thin air. And a QAnon supporter, identifying himself as such, called a Dominion employee very low level and said, you've committed treason. And then they sent a GIF by text or email of a noose with the phrase, may God have mercy on your soul. Scared the heck out of this guy. Lower level, not highly compensated guy. Called the Secretary of State's office. Gabriel Sterling responded. Trump spread the word that there were secret suitcases of ballots, that they were fed through the machines multiple times. And Gabriel Sterling and then Brad Raffensperger, when he spoke, had very, very succinct responses. Conservative Republicans voted for Trump, but they said, first of all, we audited it three times. We did a scan audit, then Trump wanted a hand audit. There are 5 million ballots, Raffensperger testified, in Georgia. They looked at every one and matched it up, and it said it came within point something 00001. Of agreement with the scan, which is statistically unbelievably accurate. And they said, all this business about suitcases of votes, that was false. The videos that they produced simply were bins in which the ballots were kept, and people would then take the bin and feed them absentee ballots through the machine. They were not sent several times. They did another scan audit. They did three audits. And they said the reason Trump lost is 28,000 Georgians didn't vote in the presidential election. But most of them voted for Republicans down ticket. And also 30,000 more people voted for Republican members of Congress than voted for Trump. In other words, they split their tickets. Trump disgusted the voters in two respects. One respect was, you may remember, he went around saying, this vote is rigged. He said it in advance, don't bother to vote. The stupidest thing that any politician ever said, don't bother to vote, because then the only people who don't vote are your people. The other guy's people lick their chops and they vote. Your people don't vote. And the idiot did that. And Ronna McDaniel, the head of the Republican National Committee, and many other Republicans said, for God's sake, knock that off. And then he kept it up. Then after he lost, there was a runoff for two Senate seats. Raphael Warnock was running and Jonathan Ossoff. And he said, don't bother to vote. It's rigged. And both of them won, the two Democrats. So Georgia, for the first time in memory, had two Democratic Senate seats flipped to the Democrats and the presidency in Georgia because of who their nominee was. I mean, even somebody who doesn't seem to have any ability to be president at all, if Pence had been the nominee, it wouldn't have been that bad. He lost because he was Trump and because of the things that he did. Period. End of story. Then Raffensperger testified. He was magnificent. He had a 67-minute phone call with Trump that he taped, which is lawful to do in Georgia. It's a one-party consent state like Wisconsin. In the old days, there were two-party consent states like Illinois and Pennsylvania, and you taped a conversation there and didn't let the other guy know and get his permission. It was a crime. But in Wisconsin and in Georgia, apparently, only one party has to consent, which is you who are doing the taping. Okay, and he told Trump, Brad, I just want 11,780 votes, one more than we have. Then he said, it'd be dangerous to say no criminally, Brad, because failure to do your job could get you prosecuted. Raffensperger stood tall, said no. He easily could have caved in. All he had to do is say there's a problem and not certify. He didn't have to do anything else. They made sexual death threats against his wife. They broke into his daughter-in-law's house. His son had died, so the daughter-in-law is a widow with little kids. They broke into her house. That's a criminal burglary. You can't break into somebody's house. Scared the bejesus out of the daughter-in-law. But I'll tell you what, Brad Raffensperger stood tall. Then we have the whole issue of Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. Who are Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman? They were magnificent. Ruby Freeman is Shea Moss's mother. Shea Moss's name is Shea Freeman Moss. They had a little business making leather purses for women. That's how they supported themselves. Two African-American women. You know, they didn't have it easy down in Georgia, I imagine. They didn't have it easy down in Georgia. And suddenly they introduced video, Giuliani did, and Trump. And they mentioned Ruby Freeman's name 18 times. And they said, look at her take these secret ballots out of the suitcase. Look at her feed them in several times. And then Shea Moss, Ruby Freeman's daughter are together, and I think Ruby Freeman hands her something that seems small and white. And here's what Giuliani said. This guy needs to be sued for libel. I know he was sued. I know that some people have paid damages, but not everybody. This is flat out libel, defamation. He said, look at that, handing her a USB port with plenty of votes on it to stick into the machine. Look at that. It's just like cocaine or heroin. It's like drugs because they're two African-American women. So they asked Shea Moss, what was it? She said it was a ginger mint. My mother handed me a ginger mint. They had to stay there and keep working to feed all the stuff into the machine, the Epstein ballots. They did three audits on that machine. Three audits, two scan, one hand. If that had been true, what Trump and Giuliani were saying, and now, by the way, they've shut up. They're not saying it anymore. They just said it to rile up the base. that would have shown up. There would have been more votes than ballots. There weren't. They looked at physical ballots. They were threatened so badly, Kay Moss and Ruby Freeman. The FBI told Ruby Freeman, leave your house for 2 months. She had to sleep on the couch of friends and relatives. They lost their business. And then they testified they no longer work at the polls, no longer work at the polls. And they said nobody in that polling precinct will work there again. They're afraid. Shay Moss said she liked working with older voters, people who in the past had been stopped from voting. Now they love to vote and they weren't tech savvy. She loved it. She loved it. They got threats on murder and rape on social media. Homicidal threats. They were going to kill her. One said, you better be glad it's 2020 and not 1920, which is when the Ku Klux Klan ran Georgia. Well, it destroyed their lives. Ruby Freeman, this is sad. She said, my name, I'm known by everybody as Lady Ruby. She loved that. She said, I have shirts in every color and I wear them, but I won't ever wear one again. I'm afraid of my name. If somebody recognizes me in the supermarket, they may kill me. She won't go to the supermarket. She has friends buy her groceries. She's afraid. She's afraid that her last name will be used. And then she said, and this was so compelling, she said, because the mother testified with her deposition, she was sitting in the audience and they played her deposition. She said, the president of the United States is supposed to protect everybody. He's not supposed to target anybody. But they targeted her, scapegoated her. They are afraid to walk down the street. They are afraid because there are people who threaten to murder and rape them. They won't give out their names. Shay Moss won't give out her business card anymore. They're afraid to leave the house. Why should anybody have to leave his house for 2 months? Because they did their job. They did their job. They were just scapegoated. Then the coup de grace for me was men broke into their grandmother's house, Shay Freeman Moss's grandmother's house, Ruby Freeman's mother, the grandmother, elderly woman, and said, where are Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman? We're going to make a citizen's arrest. Scared the bejesus out of her. This is Georgia. If somebody had done that in Georgia before John Kennedy was elected, they would have murdered any black person they wanted and gotten off. This is disgusting what happened. We're going to go to the lines quickly. The lines are really lighted up and you've been on a long time. Don't hang up. We're going to start with Jack in Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
It's an honor to speak to a man who loves his country. And
I have a
comment here. You had a fella earlier there. His favorite network doesn't carry the hearings. I don't know why they call themselves a news station.
Jack, we have about a minute to go. I love hearing from you. If you can just boil it down, because what you have to say is important.
Oh, okay. Here's a guy that all these people have been and the hearings have been Republicans. Well, he calls himself a conservative, yet he's digging up news from the internet that's all phony. What's wrong with these guys? These are all Republicans. Why can't he just look? You tried to overthrow the government. This is a serious crime. And these are all Republicans. What is wrong with a guy like Gary? That was my comment, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to respond after the break. I'm being dragged off the air. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Terrific comments. I'll get back to you after the break. And to the other callers, don't hang up. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Just want to respond briefly to Jack and then go back to the lines. Jack, that was magnificent. That really was that right on the money. These guys tried to overthrow the government, and this was orchestrated by Trump and Giuliani and a number of Republican senators and congressmen. And people in the Republican Party obviously don't want to believe it, but even people in good faith like Jack will then offer things that have been on the internet. I pointed out that the internet, a lot of what's on there, the more controversial divisive stuff is put on by Iran, Russia, and China. And, you know, they'll do it on the left and the right. There are people on the left who will say, oh, look what the right did. Most of this stuff on both sides is baloney. Do not believe anything you see on the internet until you see it confirmed several times in other media that you trust. But in any event, you made a very good point, Jack, and that is Fox News, which is the go-to station for Republicans, didn't even broadcast the first one, the kickoff on prime time. They didn't broadcast it. Now they are broadcasting it, but what they do is they'll just sit there with sort of snide comments and spread things like, well, the FBI orchestrated and all this. Just look at the video. Those guys weren't orchestrated by the FBI, the Proud Boys, the Boogaloo, the rest of them, the Oath Keepers. They just were not. These were people who Trump had ginned up very irresponsibly, and it resulted in deaths. And it resulted in a concerted effort. It was not the FBI that called Rusty Bauer of Arizona and said, just declare that there's something wrong with the vote. That was Giuliani and Jenna Ellis, the lawyer for Trump. And Trump. It was not the FBI that called Brad Raffensperger and said, come up with 11,570 votes or you may get criminally prosecuted. That was not the FBI. That was Donald Trump. And I could go around every state in the country saying the same thing. Going back to the lines, Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Oh, a couple people, Ron Johnson and I believe Mr. Bowers from Arizona. Wasn't that somehow Ron Johnson's shown off that new technology, a phone you can talk on that's not even on? But interesting, the gentleman from Arizona, about 50 minutes before all of this started yesterday, from what I understand, the former president was on the attack on him. Isn't that kind of a form of
right.
a witness?
Right.
I mean, it wasn't that special. That was just great. But to him, I'm not that greatly impressed, because here's the thing. All these people said they'd vote for the man again. Given all, if I would have been Adam Schiff there, I said, given all the testimony you've given, all of you, would you still vote for this guy? I mean, you all said basically what the judge said last week. You're clear and present danger to the country. So when you finally come around after months and months of this thing brewing, and the country coming apart at the seams, I'm not all that impressed.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point. Let me also kind of put this in context. Obviously, Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss are not going to vote for Trump. And obviously, you know, Adam Schiff is not. But the three people who voted, Brad Raffensperger, Rusty Bauer, and Gabe Sterling, were Republicans. Now, in fairness, though, I do not remember Gabe Sterling saying he'd vote for Trump again. He might, but, you know, he's a Georgia guy. But Brad Raffensperger did vote for Trump. I think what they said is, did you hope that Trump would win? And Raffensperger said yes. And so did Rusty Bauer. Whether they'd vote for them again, that was not asked directly. You're inferring that, and it's a reasonable inference that if they want them to vote, they want them to win in 2020, they want them to win in 2024. That said, it would depend on who the Democrat nominee is. I'm assuming it's Joe Biden. I hope it is. I think he's a very good president. I was one of his early supporters in Wisconsin. When everybody out there, all of you, don't deny it, were for Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. I was for Joe Biden. I was very glad I was for Joe Biden. He was the only Democrat that could have beaten Trump. Thank God we got Trump out of there. Would Rusty Bauer and Brad Raffensperger vote for Trump in 2024? I don't know. They didn't say that. They did say that they wished he'd won. They did say that. Who knows? But they stood tall. And either one of them could have caved. I mean, Brad Raffensperger, his widowed daughter-in-law, son died of cancer. Widowed daughter-in-law has her home invaded. Has her home broken into? Rusty Bauer's dying daughter of cancer has to listen to armed guys with megaphones outside the house shouting terrible things about her father. And you're right, Dick. Trump, just a few minutes before the thing convened yesterday, attacked Rusty Bauer again. The guy is sort of a Putin type of guy, Trump is, a Putin lover. He's a Putin lover. Okay, we're going to go beyond just for now. This is something I've got to talk about. The clowns in Uvalde. The clowns in Uvalde. They had a revelation. They had a revelation. The testimony of the guy who was the director of safety for the state of Texas. His name is Steve McCraw, testified, and he was angry, and I'm angry, that the police officers at Uvalde could have killed that gunman 3 minutes after he entered the building, likely before any child was killed. 3 minutes. It turns out that the door was not locked into the classroom. It could only lock from the outside. It was not locked. It was not locked. The police chief for that area, the school, lied and said that he tried it many, many times. He tried many, many keys. He was lying. It was not locked. It could only be locked from the outside, and it was not locked. His name is Peter Arredondo, and he was afraid that he would be shot, so he told all his officers, stay down the hall. And they could hear the gunfire in there. They could hear the gunfire. And it was an hour and 14 minutes, 74 or 75 minutes. And they kept saying, well, we have him barricaded. Yeah, you have him barricaded with 19 little ones and two teachers. And fathers would come up and say, I'm going to go in there and get him. And they threw him on the ground and handcuffed him. That's an arrest. They arrested the parents. They arrested the parents. They chickened out. Then he said he was waiting, Arredondo did, basically for somebody with some guts. But it turned out that they had a sniper rifle with them and they had a bullet shield. And they could have had thrown open the door with the sniper protected by the bullet shield and the other officer and shot the guy. Peter Arredondo has the blood of 19 little ones on his head. He has the blood of two good teachers on his head. Everybody said, oh, we want transparency. The state won't reveal the documents because the guy was not convicted. Why wasn't he convicted? Because he got killed. He got shot. That was a law that was intended to protect investigations when a guy hasn't been caught yet. Or convicted, and he's on the run, and you don't want to tip him off on what you know. But what if he's been killed? What if he's been killed? But Texas, no, that gives us another excuse to pull the wool over people's eyes. Stephen McCraw, the Texas Department of Public Safety director, stood tall. Arredondo should be submitted to a grand jury. When 19 little ones get done gunned down, and you chickened out and didn't do your job, put him in jail. And every other officer on there should be fired. Anybody with a decent sense of humanity would have gone in there, just thrown open the door. Well, the guy then directed his attention out in the hallway and didn't kill the little ones. Absolutely disgusting. Go to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.